It's about the survival of faith, family, and freedom. It's about the future. He's a father of five, and he's committed to preserving a legacy for the next generation. Here's Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor. The reason I'm here today, father of five, well, today we're going to look at common sense. And I want to start with this piece that I got. It's kind of a funny piece. It compares life in 1966 to life in 2006 with various scenarios. Let's start with first scenario. Jack pulls into a school parking lot with a rifle in his gun rack. In 1966, the vice principal comes over, takes a look at Jack's rifle, goes to his car, gets his own to show Jack. 2006, the school goes into lockdown, FBI is called, Jack is hauled off to jail and never sees his truck or his gun again. Counselors are called in for traumatized students and teachers. All right, scenario number two. Johnny and Mark get into a fist fight after school. 1966, a crowd gathers. Mark wins. Johnny and Mark shake hands, end up best friends. Nobody gets hurt. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody arrested. Nobody expelled. In 2006, the police are called. The SWAT team arrives. He arrests Johnny and Mark. They charge them with assault, both expelled, even though Johnny started it. Scenario three, Jeffrey won't be still in class. He disrupts other students. In 1966, Jeffrey sent to office, given a good paddling by the principal, sits still in class. 2006, Jeffrey, given huge doses of Ritalin, becomes a zombie, and the school gets extra money from the state because Jeffrey has a disability, and I think maybe that's the key there. Fourth scenario, Billy breaks a window in his father's car. His dad gives him a whipping. In 1966, Billy is more careful next time, grows up normal, goes to college, becomes a successful businessman. 2006, Billy's dad is arrested for child abuse. Billy is removed to foster care, joins a gang. Billy's sister is told by state psychologists that she remembers being abused herself, and their dad goes to prison, and Billy's mom has an affair with a psychologist. All right, scenario number five, Mark gets a headache and takes some headache medicine to school. In 1966, Mark shares a headache medicine with the principal, also has a headache. In 2006, the police are called, and Mark is expelled from school for drug violence. Car is searched for drugs and weapons. Scenario number seven, Pedro fails high school English. Oh, 1966, Pedro goes to summer school, passes English, and goes to college. In 2006, Pedro's cause is taken up by the state Democratic Party. And newspaper articles appear nationally explaining that teaching English as a requirement for graduation is racist. ACLU files a class action lawsuit against the state school system and Pedro's English teacher, and English is banned from core curriculum. Pedro is given the diploma anyway, but ends up mowing lawns for a living because he can't speak any English. Okay. Scenario number eight, Johnny takes apart leftover firecrackers from 4th of July, puts them in a model airplane paint bottle, blows up a red ant bed. In 1966, ants die. All right. In 2006, the BATF, the Homeland Security, FBI is called. Johnny charged with domestic terrorism. FBI investigates parents, siblings removed from home, and computers are confiscated. Johnny's dad goes on a terror watch list and never flies again. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the comparison 1966-2006. You know, Dave, maybe a little exaggeration, but not a lot. Not a lot.
No, not a terrible whole lot, but a little.
Yeah, ants die. Well, maybe some of the ants died. All right. But, you know, it's interesting how things have changed. Folks, I mean, if there's anything that we are chronicling on this program from day to day, it's the incredible change that we're seeing in our nation. And these things are affecting the way we live, for sure. And you got to get ready to live in this sort of world. A world where freedoms no longer exist as they once existed back in the 1950s and 60s. Dave, I think it was actually true then in the 1960s. You could bring a gun to school in your pickup truck, especially if you're going to go hunting after school that particular day.
Well, you probably could in more rural parts of America. I don't think you could in New York City.
Yeah, but it'd be doubtful you'd be hunting in New York City, I think. People would be concerned. But the fact of the matter is, folks, things are changing, and they are changing. Why? Because of Columbine. Isn't that obvious? When you get a Columbine school shooting and a number of others, what, we had four or five in a row back in September this year, you start getting that kind of anarchy, and it is anarchy when you have individuals running around shooting people randomly across schoolyards. You are going to see more tyranny. Anarchy always produces more tyranny. That is the climate of the modern age. Everybody gets to go to prison because the anarchists are out there shooting people. That's the direction we're heading. And the liberals are talking about mental health screening. I just talked to a legislator today, Dave, here in Colorado. He says, expect it. Expect it. The libs are going to want mental health screening mandatory across the board in grade schools and high schools. 100% mental health screening. Why? Because they're afraid of the anarchy. Anarchy will produce the tyranny. Can you imagine, Dave, cameras everywhere watching your every move? It's happening in England today. And you got a lot of schools today that have cameras everywhere, monitoring everything, preparing children for the Orwellian 1984 sort of state involvement of Big Brother in every aspect of your life. Personal information on every government computer, security checks in every public building. Dave, I think people are going to accept this kind of stuff. They're going to trust Big Brother. And Big Brother's never going to violate me or violate my trust. Big Brother will do the right thing. I think people implicitly trust the state, and they'll accept these things hook, line, and sinker.
They're going to have to. Otherwise, they won't pass the mental health screen, and they'll be locked up. See, mental health screening forces a certain way of thinking.
Man, I think people ought to read 1984. Orwell's book, 1984, just goes through almost every single aspect of what is coming down on you and me in the modern world. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to talk about the absence of common sense today on this program and what is happening to the way people think and live as the modern world changes. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Back on Generations, welcome folks. Today, talking about the absence of common sense and the rapid changes we're seeing in the modern world. Yes, losing your freedoms, but at the same time, I think losing some common sense. Dave, if somebody can't bring an aspirin to school without getting in trouble for some drug regulation, you got a problem here. I think we've got a lack of common sense. There are kids that have lost some privileges or been kicked out of school because they brought an aspirin to school. Of course, it's not always a bad thing to get kicked out of a public school. You might even be able to homeschool, for that matter.
Yeah, when I was in school, a lot of kids tried to get kicked out, and it took a lot more than an aspirin.
Yeah. But let's look at the absence of common sense. People just don't know how to think. And I'm going to fault police officers, administrators at schools, legislators. I'm going to fault just about every aspect of our society on this one, my friends. People do not know how to think. And the absence of common sense and thinking skills may have something to do with the absence of teaching logic in the schools today. I don't know. But most definitely we have an erosion of by means of relativism. People really believe in relativism. That is, there is no truth. And Dave, once you've cut off the concept that any truth, absolute truth, is accessible, you got a problem. People are not going to be thinking because they bought into relativism.
Well, the teachers at the teaching colleges are not taught to teach their students how to think because the teachers haven't been taught to think. Think about it. We used to teach history. Now we teach social studies. Isn't that nice and warm and fuzzy? We used to teach rigorous math. I mean, just problem after problem. Now we teach rainforest math so we can know how warm and fuzzy those trees are. It's all about feeling, not about thinking. We're emotional.
Right. And it all comes from a bad worldview. If you've got a bad worldview taught in the K-12 schools and the universities, as Dave mentioned, the teaching colleges as well, you got to bet on the fact that people are not going to know how to think. Now, folks, we believe we're going to let our worldview show on this program. There is no neutrality. Everybody's got a worldview. We believe that you've got to believe an absolute truth because there is an absolute source of truth who happens to be the God who created us in our minds. All right, that's our worldview here. We're not embarrassed about it. We think it's the only worldview that makes any sense. It's the only worldview that maintains coherency in an approach to life and thought. And that's what you are not getting in the public schools today, are buying in this materialistic, humanistic way of thinking that is effectively relativistic and undermines any possibility for truth. Bad worldviews in the end will leave you a brainless, gibbering activist who believes very deeply but knows very little and has abandoned rationality. That's exactly what Dave was just saying. But here's some examples. Dave, I got a whole list here. You don't believe in God, but you still take the time to use his name in vain. That's an example. You're okay with killing human babies. It's hunting Bambi's mother that bothers you.
Now, Kevin, you're being so narrow-minded. When you talk about absolutes like that and you bring out examples like that, yeah, your thoughts might be okay, but you're not considering other people's feelings. You're hurting other people's self-esteem.
I'll sit down, Dave. You believe in survival of the fittest, and you're still worried about extinct species. Does that make any sense at all? Again, does that make any sense at all? You believe in the survival of the fittest, and you get all worried, and you toss and turn at night over extinct species or species that are going extinct. They're supposed to go extinct. You're nothing but cosmic dust in the universe of pure chance, but, you know, cosmic dust does have some inherent value, doesn't it? You oppose all absolutes, well, except for the one that says there are no absolutes. Is that coherent? Anybody in this room, is that coherent? You believe in tolerance, but you don't think that we should tolerate those who are intolerant to what you tolerate? You think that all is one, but I'm still wrong? There's a lot of monists out there who believe all is one. Well, if all is one, then how can you have distinctions? How can I be wrong if all is one? You believe that the AIDS virus is spread by a lack of government funding? You believe that welfare has improved the lot of inner-city third-generation welfare moms, and writing a personal check to a widow in your church would corrupt your own bank account? You believe that giving 46% of your money to government and taxes is cheaper than giving a 10% tithe to church and charity? You believe that guns in the hands of law-abiding Americans are more of a threat than nuclear weapons in the hands of red Chinese or North Koreans? You believe that global temperatures are less affected by cyclical documented changes in the brilliance of the sun and more affected by yuppies driving SUVs? You believe that businesses and jobs create oppression and governments create prosperity? You believe that there was no art before federal funding? You believe that taxes are too low but ATM fees are too high? You believe that the only reason socialism hasn't worked everywhere is because it hasn't been tried by the right people, ergo you? Ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot of bad thinking going on out there. Really bad thinking. People have an inability to be rational. They are incoherent because, Dave, let's just say it, they've denied the possibility of any absolute truth whatsoever. They've denied the possibility of God existing. And I'm not talking about, just average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill people. I'm talking about people like Richard Dawkins, who's just written a book about how stupid it is to believe in God. You know, Richard Dawkins, the Oxford professor, who happens to think that believing in God is an irrational concept. The man himself has abandoned all rationality. What he says is anybody who believes in God is immoral. So what the atheists are saying, didn't we do a program on this, Dave, the other day? On how the atheists are running around saying, you know, all you religious people are so incredibly immoral. And then we come back and say, on what basis? Do you have a standard for morality? What exactly is morality in a world where you're nothing but cosmic dust, where your brain acts like grass growing in the backyard, where you're nothing but a materialistic chemical process? What exactly is morality? Explain it, Mr. Dawkins. Please explain it. See, these guys have abandoned all rationality in their worldview. Dave, it's incoherent.
Well, at this point, it doesn't need to be coherent because it's coming with such force that as long as they're able to convince a bunch of irrational people that Christianity is immoral, Christianity will be censored. They'll get their goal.
The abandonment of common sense, my friends, comes because you've got bad worldviews being taught today in American public schools and universities. You're seeing the decline of academics, the decline of the intelligent capacity of mankind to function. And I would include scientists like Richard Dawkins in this particular issue. Well, My friends, let me encourage you to develop a good way of thinking and do so by establishing the right worldview. A worldview is called is basically the foundation for human thought and learning. So it's not, there's nothing technical about this. It's the very basic building blocks of knowledge. It's the foundation, just like every house has a foundation. Go down to the foundation of what guys believe. And everybody writes textbooks for those schools, and everybody gets up and teaches. They have a basic worldview. And those basic worldview issues basically are answering questions like, does God exist? What am I? Okay, what is this thing sitting in front of the microphone? Am I a piece of cosmic dust floating around a universe of pure chance? Or am I made in the image of God for a purpose, to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever, to live according to His standards? These, my friends, are called metaphysic, epistemological, and ethical questions and answers. And everybody answers these things in some certain way. If you don't answer them rightly, and those people who says there is no God, or we can't know that there's a God, we're nothing but cosmic dust, there is no effective purpose in life, and there is no standard ethic. There can be none in the universe of pure chance where we're nothing but cosmic dust running into each other. The people that have that worldview, like Richard Dawkins, like those who control the public schools today and refuse to teach that there is one God who has given us a law, that particular view of the world will not create a good way of thinking, a good system of knowledge. And that, my friends, is why people cannot think today.
Kevin, it's like this. If there is a creator God who made and sustains the universe, who all things are ordered by His providential will, then everything else changes. How we view truth changes. What is right and wrong, our ethics, our systems change. But if you deny that there is that God, you're left with what? A system of pragmatism. That's all you have. It's you can't have common sense. All you can do is what works for the moment, what seems to work. If I do A, it gets me a better result than if I do B. But we don't know what the long-term results will be of a pragmatic lifestyle. What we end up with is, don't bring your guns to school and all kids are prisoners.
Right. And the pragmatist doesn't care what the long-term results are because pragmatism doesn't really establish what is good in the long run. Now, it's interesting you brought up the pragmatism, Dave, because, you know, John Dewey, the founder of the modern public schools, is known as the father of modern pragmatism. So, yeah, the whole pragmatic approach to epistemology is not seeking any particular good in the long run and doesn't even claim to establish what is good and what is bad, what is something that ought to be achieved and what should not be achieved. All it's interested in is accomplishing something in the short term that seems to be expeditious, seems to be the right thing for right now, but they don't even claim to seem to establish a need for that particular end.
Well, and I think for Dewey, if I read him correctly, one of the things that he found pragmatic about the public schools is its efficiency. You see, if you take your child and you create a relationship with him, and you pour in hours and hours and hours, that's not very efficient. If you can do that across, you say, 30 children with one instructor, that's very efficient. And so we're able to free up parents. They can be more economically viable. We can throw our kids together, and they'll learn all together as this big floating thing. Basically, if we can make people machines where we can predict to the outcomes, we can have great efficiencies.
Even though we aren't judging the goodness or the wrongness of the outcome. And folks, what do people do when they have cut off the Creator? What do you do when you've reduced yourself to a meaningless piece of cosmic dust in a universe of pure chance? What do? You become a pragmatist. And you begin to establish an incoherent method for life. And you give common sense, the boot, and let's take this thing back to where we need to go. We need to go back to the beginning of wisdom, which is given to us in Proverbs 1:7. The word of God is clear. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. That's where we start. And if you are going to send your child to a school, if you're going to delegate any part of that education, you had better do it with somebody who is convicted by that truth. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God.
That would only be common sense.
All right. The absence of common sense. Well, you know, we teach our children common sense by, first of all, establishing in their education, in their way of thinking, in their attitudes, in their perspectives in life, the fear of God. That is the everyday presence, existence, interest of God in their lives. You establish that. You establish it in their reading. You establish it in their math, science, history, geography. You teach the fear of God every minute of the day, so your children never think that there is a moment where they are living outside of the purview of Almighty God. That, my friends, is a good education. But secondly, teach your children to be responsible. Teach your children to be responsible. Discipline them if they don't follow through on their responsibilities. Dave, I think what happens when you live in a regulated world where people are regulating the guns in your gun rack, the number of aspirins in your backpack, this, that, and the other thing, they're assuming that children or individuals are not being responsible for themselves. They're not being trained in good character to honor their authorities, to learn and to listen to their elders as they give them the valuable lessons in life. And any kid that has never learned to honor his mother and father, never listens to the wisdom of his elders, will live without common sense, Dave. He'll do stupid things all his life. In fact, the Bible says it's the fool who will not listen to warnings, and it's the fool who despises correction. And in the end, fools who despise correction, never listen to the advice of their parents, are going to wind up doing something really stupid.
They will, but think about it. It's great training to go to a public school. You can have your backpack searched. You can only take a certain amount of things, only certain books. You can't take your medicines. It's wonderful training for flying around this country in the public airways, because, you know, they care about how much shampoo you carry or whether or not you have nail clippers. Come on, this is perfect training for life in these United States.
It's a perfect training for a tyrannical world where nobody gets to live free because they live in this world that is regulated to the T, because you've got people who have given way to anarchy. And I think, Dave, it eventually leads to the way that Klebold and Harris were raised. These boys weren't raised with godly character, and that's why they wound up blowing away 10 or 11 kids down at Columbine High School, and the result is tyranny for the rest of us. Ladies and gentlemen, it begins when parents teach their children to honor their father and mother. Could it be that simple? Could it be as simple as what God laid down in His Word? Yes, I realize it's the word that Richard Dawkins despises, but God lays it down. Honor your father and mother, that it may go well with you, that you may live a free and a prosperous and a long life on planet Earth. God gives a blessing to those who learn to honor father and mother. And teens that want to roll their eyes and act like their parents are stupid are going to be teens that wind up living a life without freedom, a life without common sense, because they never learned to honor the wisdom of their mother and father. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you to raise your children rightly. This is where it begins. And let me encourage you to get my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. We deal with a lot of the stuff relating to education in my book, Upgrade the 10 Secrets to the Best Education for Your Child. You can get the book at kevinswanson.com. Just click on store. Folks, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world, right there at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision and a little common sense for the next generation.